welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2020 season. The program notes I am reading today are for concerts by the North Carolina Symphony at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, January 9th at the Wilson Center, Cape Fear Community College in Wilmington, at 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh, and at 7:30 p.m. Sunday, January 12th at Memorial Hall in Chapel Hill. These performances will be conducted by guest conductor Gemma New, also featuring the North Carolina Master Chorale, led by its music director, Alfred E. Sturgis. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform a composition entitled Rain Phase by Selina Fisher, and that will be followed by a presentation of Nocturnes by Claude Debussy, and that will include the North Carolina Master Chorale as well. Then, following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony and the North Carolina Master Chorale return to the stage to perform The Planets, Opus 32, by Gustav Holst. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. First, some information about our guests for this performance. New Zealand-born Gemma New is music director of the Hamilton Philharmonic Orchestra in Ontario, resident conductor of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, music director of the St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra, and principal guest conductor of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, hailed as a rising star in the musical firmament by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, New was awarded the Schulte Foundation Career Assistance Awards in both 2017 and 2019. New recently launched the Hamilton Orchestra's first intimate and immersive concert series, combining the orchestra canon, contemporary music, electronic indie music, lighting, and visual art installations. New also implemented a family series and school concerts. She has regularly welcomed local students to sit on stage during rehearsals and encouraged a close relationship with the Hamilton Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, which now plays side by side with the Hamilton Philharmonic Orchestra annually. She holds a master's degree in orchestral conducting from the Peabody Institute of the Johns Hopkins University and graduated with honors from the University of Canterbury in New Zealand with a bachelor's degree in violin performance. Now information about the North Carolina Master Chorale, one of the major choral organizations of the Southeast. The North Carolina Master Chorale has been performing for more than 75 years and boasts ensembles ranging from 16 to 200 voices, with singers selected by audition. The Master Chorale has been the resident chorus of the North Carolina Symphony since 2015. With a repertoire from Renaissance to contemporary music, the chorale performs six major concerts each season and collaborates with orchestras, opera and ballet companies, and touring productions. The organization has received a Raleigh Medal of Arts in recognition of its heritage and artistic contributions. Music director Dr. Alfred E. Sturgis holds multiple degrees in music and has greatly expanded the chorale's membership and musicianship during his 27-year tenure. In 2019, Christine Kastner joined the staff as executive director. Founded as the Raleigh Oratorio Society in 1942, the chorale now works with more than 250 artist musicians each season, reaching an annual audience of more than 10,000 choral arts enthusiasts. Now, information about the program. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform Rain Phase by Selina Fisher. Fisher was born October 6, 1993, in New Zealand. This work was composed in 2015, the first performance, July 15, 2015, in Wellington, New Zealand. Jose Luis Gomez was the conductor. Now here's the story. The music of Selena Fisher is imbued with the tradition, sounds, and spirit of her native New Zealand and her ancestral Japan. Fisher, born in 1993, has received grants from Fulbright New Zealand, Creative New Zealand, and the Arts Foundation, and is the youngest ever winner of the Sounds Contemporary Award in 2016 and 2017. Her works have been commissioned and performed internationally by ensembles including the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, the New Zealand String Quartet, Auckland Philharmonia Orchestra, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, the Albany Symphony, and the International Contemporary Ensemble. After graduating from the New Zealand School of Music in 2015, Fisher received a Fulbright New Zealand General Graduate Award and an Edward Carr Foundation Scholarship through Creative New Zealand for advanced study at the Manhattan School of Music, where she received her master's degree in 2018. She returned to New Zealand in July 2019 to serve as the Creative New Zealand Composer in Residence at Victoria University of Wilmington. As a violinist, Fisher performed frequently with the New Zealand Orchestra and was a concertmaster of the New Zealand National Youth Orchestra. Fisher composed Rain Phase in 2015 for the National Youth Orchestra of New Zealand, and it won the 2016 Sounds Contemporary Award. As she writes, "For quite some time, the beauty and chaos of Wellington Rain has inspired me to respond musically. My orchestral work, Rain Phase, draws on characteristics of water as rain, its shape and shapelessness, its transparency and density, its energy and calm, and its capacity for reflection in both a literal and emotional sense." In addition to the North Carolina Symphony's performance in these concerts, Rain Phase is also performed in the United States this season by the National Symphony Orchestra, the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, as well under the direction of New Zealand conductor Gemma New. Now here's some listening tips. Structurally, Rain Phase flows through various stages of this phase in the water cycle. Last rays diminishing as gray clouds form. Droplets released, a frenzy of water and wind, all collecting in streams, writes Fisher. I'm particularly fascinated by the variation in sound and movement of raindrops, depending on the material upon which they fall, and the texture created when these countless individual timbres and rhythms happen all at once. The ending evokes a memorable moment of obscure beauty that I experienced on a still night last winter. Heavy rain had transformed empty streets into blurry mirrors, reflecting warm glows of street and traffic lights. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: 3 flutes, one doubling the piccolo, 2 oboes, English horn, 3 clarinets, one doubling a bass clarinet, 2 bassoons, contrabassoon, 4 horns, 3 trumpets, 3 trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, 2 harps, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony will be joined on the stage by the North Carolina Master Chorale for a performance of Nocturnes by Claude Debussy. Debussy was born August 22, 1862, in Saint-Germain-Laye, near Paris. He died March 25, 1918, in Paris. The work was composed in 1897 to 1899. The first performance, December 12, 1900, in Paris, Camille Chevillard conducting. Here's the story. One stormy day in 1897, as Debussy was crossing the Pont de la Concorde in Paris with his friend Paul Puyot, recorded the composer's biographer Leon Vallas, he told him that on a similar kind of day, the idea of the symphonic work Nuage had occurred to him. He had visualized those very thunderclouds swept along by a stormy wind, a boat passing with a horn sounding. These two impressions are recalled in the languorous succession of chords and by the short chromatic theme of the English horn. Debussy went on to explain to Puyot that Fête had been inspired by recollection of merrymaking in the Bois de Boulogne, with noisy crowds watching the drum and bugle corps of the Garde Nationale pass in parade. The finale, Serene, which includes a women's chorus singing without text, derives from L'Homme et la Serene by Henri de Régnier, a symbolist poet. The idea for the tone painting of this work and its title, Nocturnes, may have been taken from the work of James McNeill Whistler, the American-born artist who lived in Paris and London for most of his life. Now here are listening tips. Debussy himself caught the delicate blending of reality and imagination in a poetic description of his nocturnes that he provided for the work's first complete performance on October 27, 1901. The title Nocturnes is intended to have here a more general and more particularly a more decorative meaning. It is not meant to designate the usual form of a nocturne, but rather all the impressions and the special effects of light that the word suggests. Clouds, the unchanging aspect of the sky, and the slow and solemn march of clouds fading away in gray tones, slightly tinged with white. Festivals, vibrating, dancing rhythm with sudden flashes of light. There's also the episode of a procession, a dazzling, fantastic vision, passing through the festive scene and becoming blended with it. But the background remains persistently the same. The festival with its blending of music and luminous dust participating in the universal rhythm of things. And finally, sirens, the sea and its endless rhythms. Then amid the billows silvered by the moon, the mysterious song of the sirens is heard. It laughs and passes. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: 3 flutes, 1 doubling the piccolo, 2 oboes, English horn, 2 clarinets, 3 bassoons, 4 horns, 3 trumpets, 3 trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, 2 harps, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony and the Master Chorale return to the stage to perform The Planets, Opus 32, by Gustav Holst. Holst was born September 21, 1874, in Cheltenham, England. He died May 24, 1934, in London. The work was composed in 1914 through 1917, the first performance, September 29, 1918, in London. Adrian Bolt was the conductor. Now here is the story. Holst's interest in writing a piece of music on the attributes of the astrological signs was apparently spurred by his visit in the spring of 1913 with the writer and avid stargazer Clifford Box, who noted that Holst was himself a skilled reader of horoscopes. Of the music's inspiration, Holst noted, As a rule, I only study things that suggest music to me. That's why one time I worried at Sanskrit. Then recently, the character of each planet suggested lots to me, and I have been studying astrology fairly closely. Despite his immediate attraction to the planets as the subject for a musical work, however, he took some time before beginning the composition. He once wrote to William Gillies Whittaker, "Never compose anything unless the not composing of it becomes a positive nuisance to you." And it was not until the summer of 1914, more than a full year after he had conceived this piece, that he could no longer resist the lure of the planets. Now here's some listening tips. Holst wrote of the planets, "These pieces were suggested by the astrological significance of the planets. There is no program music in them. Neither have they any connection with the deities of classical mythology bearing the same names. If any guide to the music is required, the subtitle to each piece will be found sufficient, especially if it is used in a broad sense. The staggering hammer blows of Mars, the bringer of war, are followed by the sweet luminosity of Venus, the bringer of peace. Mercury, the winged messenger, is a nimble scherzo. Within Jupiter, the bringer of jollity, coexist a boisterous bacchanalian dance and a striding hymn tune to which Elgar stood godfather. Holst declared the lugubrious Saturn, the bringer of old age, to be his favorite movement in the suite. Uranus, the magician, is shown as a rather portly prestidigitator. Neptune, the mystic, is a disembodied siren song for the female chorus, floating away to inaudibility among the spheres. The instrumentation for this work is as follows. 4 flutes, 1 doubling piccolo, 1 doubling piccolo and alto flute, 3 oboes, 1 doubling a bass oboe, English horn, 3 clarinets, bass clarinets, 3 bassoons, contrabassoon, 6 horns, 4 trumpets, 3 trombones, 2 tubas, 2 timpani, percussion, celesta, organ, 2 harps, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2019 by Dr. Richard E. Rota. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2020 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.